Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. Today we continue our sermon series exploring those liminal spaces. The talk is by Edward Hoskin, Methodist lay reader, and is entitled Learning to Listen. Our reading this week is taken from Luke 24 verses 13 to 35. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is linked on our website.
Good morning. Our New Testament reading this morning is taken from Luke 24, verses 13 to 35, and it's about the walk to Emmaus. On the fourth resurrection of the appearance on Easter Sunday, two followers of Jesus are leaving Jerusalem to go home to Emmaus after having travelled there for Passover. Along the way, they are discussing the passion and death of Jesus. Luke 24, verses 13 to 35. On that same day, two of Jesus' followers were going to a village named Emmaus. It's about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking to each other about all the things that had happened. As they talked and discussed, Jesus himself drew near and walked along with them. They saw him, but somehow did not recognize him. Jesus said to them, "What are you talking about to each other as you walk along?" They stood still with sad faces. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who doesn't know things that have happened there these last few days?" "What things?" he asked. "The things that happened to Jesus of Nazareth," they answered. "This man was a prophet and was considered by God and by all the people to be powerful in everything he said and did. Our chief priests and rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and he was crucified. And we had hoped that he would be the one who was going to set Israel free. Besides all that, this is now the third day since this has happened. Some of the women of our group surprised us. They went at dawn to the tomb, but could not find his body. They came back saying they had seen a vision of angels who told them that he is alive. Some of our group went to the tomb and found it exactly as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are, how slow you are to believe everything the prophets said. Was it not necessary for the Messiah to suffer these things and then to enter his glory?" And Jesus explained to them what was said about himself in all the scriptures, beginning with the books of Moses and the writings of all the prophets. As they came near the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going farther. But they held him back, saying, "Stay with us. The day is almost over and it's getting dark." So he went in to stay with them. He sat down to eat with them, took the bread, and said the blessing. Then he broke the bread and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. But he disappeared from their sight. They said to each other, Wasn't it like fire burning in us when he talked to us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? They got up at once and went back to Jerusalem, where they found the 11 disciples gathered together with the others and saying, "The Lord is risen indeed. He has appeared to Simon." The two then explained to them what had happened on the road and how they had recognized the Lord when he broke the bread. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So, are you a good listener? So we're here thinking about learning to listen. I'm sure we all feel we've learned to listen in our lives. I'm hoping you're tuned in to what I'm going to say today. But are you really a good listener? And maybe it depends on the situation. There are different places where we listen. Sometimes we are a sort of an audience, you know, sitting on seats, listening, sometimes at school or college or club, like a special interest club, or as we are here in church. And that's maybe slightly different to when we're perhaps at home listening to the radio or watching television, or if we go to the theatre. Again, I don't know whether you can identify those differences, but sometimes perhaps if you're in a lesson, or dare I say at church and listening to someone in a sermon, your mind might wander slightly more so perhaps than when you go to the theatre and you might be intent on listening to a particular theatrical work. But equally, if you listen to the radio at home, or you listen to music, iPods and audio books and things, are you always listening? Or is it just sometimes noise in your ear or coming across? So again, it's different. And it's different to when we perhaps listen to a friend. If we're talking one-to-one with a friend, again, it's different to just having music or noise pumped into our ears. We've got someone in front of us. We can look at their reactions. We can see how they're talking to us, engage with them. But again, is that different to someone who we might not call a friend, but just someone an acquaintance? You may be someone here in church you wouldn't call a friend, but someone you know of them, not quite a friend. And again, perhaps our listening is slightly different. And again, perhaps even more different with a stranger. When you come across a stranger and they might talk to us, again, how do you feel? Sometimes you might feel awkward because that stranger you're not expecting them to talk to you. But again, you don't know them as well. You don't know them well enough to know how they're likely to react to how you might respond or the sorts of things they're going to talk about. It's a different way of reacting with someone. And again, dare I say, it might be different when you're speaking to a parent or a child or a sibling or someone in your family. You know, we may have built up sort of a reaction to the people we know best of all, where we sometimes, dare I say, sort of switch off or just glaze over because we've heard it so many times before. Now, all of this, of course, our whole focus today is thinking about how we listen to God. But I just thought it was worth thinking about these different aspects of listening and trying to relate that to how we listen to God. Do we feel we've heard it all before, so we glaze over? Do we feel that God is a stranger and perhaps unsure how to react? Or do we think of God as a friend, someone we're really keen and eager to hear what they're going to say? So perhaps we have different ways of thinking about how we listen to God. Look at these emojis just coming up. I'm hoping they might prompt you in thinking about how you listen, or indeed how you perceive other people to listen to you, because that's sometimes the other way around, isn't it? That we think, oh, they're not really listening to me. But are we the same? So I just thought we'd spend a couple of minutes. Just turn to your neighbor or someone who's with you and perhaps identify one or two of those emojis and say, oh, yes, I'm like that. Or indeed, you're like that, if you want to be particular. You know. But just think about, you know, do they stimulate you in terms of thinking, are you a good listener? I'm not even sure what they all mean. But oh, I like that one. Yeah. I thought that was good. Yeah. Sorry? Never mind. Yeah. So I can feel this sort of buzz going on of different ideas. I'm not going to go through them all, but just as an example of what we were just saying here, the saintly one on the bottom left with the halo, it might be, oh, I'm a perfect listener, or it might be, I'm holier than thou, you know, I know better. So again, you can interpret them different ways. But let's just go on a little bit further. So I just thought, when you listen, are you sometimes distracted? Are there other things going on in your mind? And again, think of this in terms of not just speaking to people, each other, but thinking of how we relate to God. Are we sometimes distracted? We're not always focusing sufficiently. Maybe we're thinking other thoughts. We're not really concentrated. Maybe not interested. What's happening now? Are we perhaps egotistic? We're too full of what we want, how we want to respond, rather than thinking what the person's saying. You know, we're too full of... we're thinking that we perhaps know better, that we wouldn't perhaps say that thing. We're perhaps a bit judgmental. Or are we too analytical? Perhaps being pedantic about the words that are being used. Oh, I wouldn't have used that word. Or even worse, saying, oh, I wouldn't, that person's not really saying what they're meaning to say. We're trying to predict what the person's saying. We're analyzing it without perhaps truly identifying with the person. Thinking the other person doesn't really mean what they're saying, perhaps, or they don't mean that. Or I think I do this a lot. My wife will agree to this. She's laughing already. But you hear someone saying something, and you already forecast what they're going to say without listening. You hear the beginning, and you don't hear the end. So again, you might identify with that. And if you look at all those things, DEAF, you could say you're deaf to the actual message. I'm not talking here about a sort of a physical lack of hearing. It's a psychological lack of hearing. It's your attitude to hearing. These are, by contrast, I'm not quite sure heartfelt's the right word, but I couldn't think what to do, what word to use. But I was really meaning listening with your whole heart, listening from your heart, being sincere, genuine, having a strong desire, a desire to hear what the person's saying. You're empathetic. You're thinking about how the other person feels. You're not so concerned about how you feel, but you're actually wanting to understand how the person feels who's talking to you. You're attentive. You're giving your full attention. You're not distracted. You're concentrating. You're thoughtful, polite, you're courteous. And I've also put there responsive. And responsive in the sense, perhaps in your own facial reactions. Perhaps in those little, and shows that you're listening. You're giving some feedback to show you're listening. But also, perhaps, thinking about how you can respond sensibly to what the person's saying. When I was at university, our professor used to say, if you ever go to a talk, and this could apply to a sermon, but if you ever go to a talk, a presentation, you should always be thinking, what question can I ask at the end? And that really made me think, I remember. You know, it's sometimes difficult. It's easy to sit and hear a lecture, but to actually think through what the person's saying. What question can I ask at the end? Truly listening with intent of being able to respond, showing that you're interested. And they, of course, spell hear. So that's the difference. One is, if you've got the negative actions, you're not really fully taking in what the person's saying. But if you have put your whole heart and energy and enthusiasm into it, you truly hear the message. So we go now onto our road to Emmaus. So these two are walking to Emmaus. And this now is going to be a little test of how well you are listening this morning. You may well have heard the story before, I'm sure, and you've seen the video and you've heard the lesson. But nonetheless, let's just test your ability to understand. How far was Emmaus? 7 miles. Well done, that's an easy one. Oops. Oh, gone too far. They talked and discussed what? All that had happened, the events of those last few days. So they were talking, they were discussing. They were clearly listening to each other because they were discussing the whole events and were keen and eager to think through what had been happening. And then, of course, Jesus comes. You have that whole bit of them not recognizing Jesus. But what did Jesus, how did Jesus respond to them when they were talking about these events? What did he explain to them? The scriptures. You know, all of what the scriptures taught about Jesus. We had in that, in the video, we had that wonderful excitement of those two saying, oh, he came to do this and he came to do that and we thought he was going to do this and he healed the sick and he, you know, all those sort of things, all that excitement. But they hadn't fully understood why Jesus had come and he'd done all these wonderful things in the previous years. But Jesus had to explain to them the scriptures, the whole of the scriptures, of how all the scriptures, beginning with Moses and the prophets, saying, effectively, he was saying to them, you haven't really fully listened to the scriptures. You haven't really fully understood. And again, perhaps that's a prompt to us. Do we fully listen? Have we fully understood the scriptures? Have we taken it on board sufficiently to understand God's message to us? And they, when they came to where they were stopping, they urged him strongly to stay with them. They were so happy to be listening to this person, not knowing it was Jesus, so keen to hear him say more. They said, stay with us. And of course, as it said, because the day was nearly over. Before we get on to that sort of question there, I think it's important to think, when you're walking alongside each other, and it's sometimes it's the case that when you're in a car and you're talking to each other, you're not looking at them. You're often not looking at the person in their face. You're hearing the words, but not necessarily picking up on other actions, other visual clues as to body language. But it was when Jesus broke the bread and that sort of, and presumably at the table they were more relaxed, able to look across at each other, that they truly understood that it was Jesus they were talking to. And when they had recognized Jesus and Jesus had left, they asked each other what? Seems as perhaps asked wasn't the right, quite the right phrase. It depends on your translation. But they said that were not their hearts. Their hearts were burning with desire when they were with Jesus. They were so enthusiastic. Their hearts were burning. And they returned to the 11 and said, well, this is in a way a bit of a trick question, because in the New International Version, it says they returned to the 11 who said, Jesus is alive. It is true. And when I first read this, I thought, ah, yes, that's what they said. They went back to the 11 and they said, it is true, we've seen Jesus. It was the 11 who were saying it was true. And again, it's just a subtle little sort of example of how when you read things, you can sometimes miss the nuance. They went back to the 11 and the 11 said, it's true, Jesus has appeared to Peter. And they said, yes, we've now met him. We've seen him on the road to Emmaus. So it's just a little example of how sometimes you read something, and again, or listen, and you pick up the wrong sort of clues. And you need to study and perhaps spend more time making sure you understand, again, what someone has said to you, or in this case, reading the scriptures. And this passage maybe tells us that we may be hearing Jesus and are not realizing it. Jesus may be walking alongside us, metaphorically, if you like, but he may be with us in our lives. He may be giving us clues. He may be giving us little examples, little messages, and we're not fully realizing. We need to spend a bit more time unpicking the messages we're getting. We need to perhaps recognize the presence of Jesus and the Holy Spirit in our lives and consider the message that it's prompting us to understand. We need to learn to recognize the voice of God, the voice of Jesus, the voice of the Holy Spirit, to recognize that voice amongst all the other voices that we come across. As I mentioned, radio and theater and other things, but also all those sort of doubts and those fears that we have. We need to tune in to really understand that it's Jesus, God, Holy Spirit, is speaking to us. In Isaiah 55, so we didn't have this text, but in Isaiah 55, Isaiah, in terms of giving the message from God, God is saying, listen, listen to me. Eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen, that you may live. The eat there is taking on board is the word of God that we are asked to take on board the message, and that good message. It would be a delight to us. But the listen to me, I think it's the emphasis there, saying listen twice, reminds me of sort of school days when the school teacher's trying to get children together. Say, listen, listen. You know, you're trying to attract their attention. And if you look at this picture, you can see that one is clearly attentive, keen. One is a bit more pensive, he might be listening. And there's two here in the foreground, aren't listening at all. But again, God says, listen, listen, attracting us to listen to God's message. God's message is so important to us that he wants us to hear it. His word is nourishing like food, as it says there, like food. But he also says, again in Isaiah 55, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. He's very aware that his thoughts are beyond what we can really understand sometimes. But again, that message to us, to not think we know what God is saying, but allow ourselves to be open to messages that we might not expect. But how do we listen to God? Do we expect a booming voice from the clouds? Not really most of our experiences. We should listen, we should worship with our whole heart. Come to worship with an open heart, with a desire, a heartfelt desire to come to worship, such that God can speak to us through our worship. To pray with empathy. To pray not just with concerns of our own. Not just to go to God with a list of prayer demands, of our feelings, our problems, our desires. But consider what God is feeling. That almost seems sacrilegious to say, what is God feeling? But God has feeling. God has emotions. God wants us to hear him. But we need to go to him with an expectation that God has something to say to us. Not just wanting to pray to him, but to listen. To read the Bible attentively. Again, hence that little example I gave of me reading it wrong and thinking we've understood one thing, but actually the message is slightly different. Spend time, not necessarily just plucking short passages out of the Bible, but understand the context. Put it in the context of God's whole message to us. And to discuss responsibly. As I said, I think God gives us messages at times, and we don't realize it's from God, but by talking to others, we can say, well, I wonder if God's saying this to me. And the other people we discussed with could equally be part of God's message. God speaks through to us through the people around us. People can reassure us that, yes, they understand that message for us. So to discuss and be wanting to respond. So not a booming voice, but again, that hearing God in different ways. Later on in Isaiah, a few chapters on, Isaiah 55, the message is, the people of God are saying, the Israelites are saying, why have we fasted, they say, and you've not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves, and you've not noticed? They're really saying, look, God, we're fasting, we're doing what you want, but we're not hearing anything back from you. We're getting nothing. And God said, yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please, you exploit other workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife. It even goes on to say, they are striking each other with wicked feasts, with fists. Where we have the word fasted here, we could interpret that as worship. I don't think I've ever been in a church where people have ended up quarreling and hitting each other with fists. But the point is, the intent is that he's saying, if you're not worshiping sincerely, if you're not coming to worship God and being open to God's message, then it's as if you're doing these things. Because he said, is not this the kind of fasting that I have chosen? Is not this the kind of worship I've chosen? That you come sincerely within the context of your lives where you're looking after those who need help, to loose the chains of injustice, to set the oppressed free, to share food with the hungry, to provide the poor wanderer with shelter, to clothe the naked. We can only worship God if our lives reflect that worship. That we come to worship, we come to try and hear God because we are living sincere lives following God's way. And God's way is that we should be compassionate to others. And you might recognize there's a parallel there with what Jesus said in Matthew 25. If you know the passage of separating the sheep from the goats. Look, you can do that as homework, Matthew 25. So if Isaiah 55, 58 goes on to say, if you do these things, if you do away with what it says, the yoke of oppression, if you do away with the, you know, looking after, make sure you look after people, you're compassionate, you're getting rid of oppression, you're getting rid of injustice, the Lord will guide you always, guide you, speak to you, instruct you, and you'll be like a well-watered garden. I think this is a wonderful image, a well-watered garden. Those of you who are gardeners will know we've suffered from sort of dryness recently, but how much better the garden grows with water. It is the watering that God tenders the garden, and it grows, and it's fruitful, it's beautiful, grows and is beautiful. If our worship is sincere and our response is compassion for others, it is much like the delight mentioned in chapter 25, but we'll be like a well-watered garden with growth and beauty, giving pleasure to others. It's a promise of transformation. If you like, from weeds or barrenness to beauty, that we'll hear God's voice. So we will do well to listen to God, to be intent to understand his message, and to consider our response. So how is God speaking to us today? That is always the message we should be thinking. How is God speaking to us through our worship, through our prayer, through our study of scriptures, through our fellowship with others and our discussion of our faith with each other? So let's finish with a prayer. We say this all together. Dear Lord, help me to distinguish your voice from the voices of the world. Open my ears, my heart, and my mind to discern your will for me. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.